Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show, brought to you by Fevo. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and you guys, we made it. We've only been talking about it for months and months and months, ad nauseum. Week one of the NFL season is here. The San Francisco 49ers open their season on Sunday in Chicago against the Bears, and I am thrilled and honored to be joined by the amazing Courtney Cronin, ESPN's Bears reporter for NFL Nation. Courtney, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me back. I'm excited.
Absolutely. Let's dive in, preview this game. Apparently it's going to rain, which is kind of big news in California, even though it's going to rain in Chicago.
Well, it's big news in Chicago, too, because they just resodded the field on Labor Day. And I don't know if you saw the Kansas City preseason game. That was the one game that the Bears played at Soldier Field. The turf was in rough shape, so they got through their concert, their summer concert slate that destroyed the field even further, and then they switched, as of Labor Day, from, I believe it was Kentucky bluegrass to Bermuda grass, which is what they've resodded it with. But that was like a couple days ago. So how is the sod going to take to the earth that's at Soldier Field? Then you're going to add rain on top of that. Like, I'm not like a grass expert by any stretch, but to me, I'm like, this could really end up going poorly if the installation process doesn't go as smoothly as maybe they hope. So like, you hope it does, but yeah, I'm not thrilled about the rain in the forecast for the reasons of just like not wanting to get stuck in the rain. But I also think that the turf might be a concern, something to keep an eye on.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live and betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Well, it's funny, and you said Labor Day, and which was, like you said, a couple days ago, but when you first said it, I feel like we're already so in it. I was like, oh, Labor Day was like 2 weeks ago.
I know, right?
But it was 3 days ago. So that is something. And in California, we're experiencing quite a heat wave. So I just think the drastic change in temperatures is going to be interesting. But we are not meteorologists, nor are we agriculture experts. So I guess we should bring one onto the show. But that is the weather forecast for the day. But that does matter when it comes to football. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. But let's talk about something that we are more expert in. And we'll start with quarterbacks. Because storyline here, of course, we have two quarterbacks from the 2021 draft class. Justin Fields for the Chicago Bears. I went to Michigan, so when I say Justin Fields, it's a little bit of a trigger, but I'm going to get through it. Trey Lance for the 49ers. The 49ers, of course, keeping Jimmy Garoppolo on board as QB2. He's from Chicago. It's going to mean nothing this week. I know some people are trying to make it mean something. Means nothing. Most likely not going to play. So we have our 2021 draft class quarterbacks going up against each other. Trey Lance is essentially a rookie. Yes, he started two games, but he's essentially a rookie for the 49ers. Justin Fields has that year behind him. What are you thinking the Bears and Bears fans are going to see from him in his second year?
I think you're going to see a quarterback that is put in better situations by and large. The scheme that Luke Getsy is installing, they've installed, you know, for the last couple months, is supposed to be quarterback driven. That was the first thing out of Getsy's mouth when he was hired in January, that you're going to be doing things that, you know, bring out the strengths of the quarterback, that play to the strengths of the quarterback. And for Fields, he's got so many great athletic tools that you can use them in ways that they weren't utilized last year, and maybe even better utilize them, because you're not going to be putting everything on his shoulders. This is an offense that's going to have a strong element in the run game. It's an offense that's going to have him on the move more and able to utilize his arm strength that we know he has, and putting him in situations where he's in the pocket, but also making plays outside of the pocket. And I just think that there's the expectation level too, that it's not going to all be A-plus work right off the bat. That's the one thing I think they really nailed in the hire of Luke Getsy, that you have somebody coming in here who's not preaching publicly, at least, like, I've got to get this guy to become a franchise quarterback and I've got to do it in 17 games this season. The incremental improvements that you're going to see from Justin Fields, or what the Bears at least hope to see, that's the focus. Like, the rhetoric has changed, because I remember when we were talking to Matt Eberflus at owners meetings in March, and he was, you know, mentioning how, of course, year two, you want to see a big jump from Justin Fields, but you haven't heard that same phrasing around the quarterback, because there had to be so many things that were not necessarily undone, but tweaked and, you know, fixed right away with Fields. I know that we talked to him on Wednesday this week, and he had mentioned that even just getting down the footwork, where he drops back with his left foot in front and his right foot back in the shotgun versus right foot in front and left foot back, that took him time to learn and get comfortable with that, because everything in this offense starts with your feet, because it's all predicated on rhythm and timing and being able to hit receivers in stride. And so it's the balance for Fields this year will be wanting, you know, staying patient within what you're doing if things don't go so well offensively, and trying to grow within that, within the confines of this offense, and not worrying about the burden of winning games and having to show vast improvement in the win column to know that you yourself improved. Because the truth is, this roster, and I know a lot of people nationally, you know, like to use the Bears kind of as this example of what not to do, and being like, hey, there's a second year quarterback that didn't put a lot of pieces around him, that didn't build enough around him. And I think some of that is fair. Some of it's overblown, but we'll see soon. Like, I mean, I know that I'm with you. Like, we've done 5 weeks of training camp and preseason, and that storyline has not gone away. So let's see what that actually looks like when they roll out there on Sunday. Like, you know, is the deficit of playmakers one that's so drastic that you notice right away around Fields, or can he make do with what he has?
So I want to get further into that, but I want to talk a little bit about Trey Lance, because I think what you said was really important, and I want to drive this home for the fans and for the Twitter community. And what you said about Justin Fields and making those strides from week one to week 17. And I think that's something that the 49ers have been pretty good about when it has come to Trey Lance. They've been, he's our guy, we believe in Trey, et cetera, et cetera. But they've been, from the beginning of training camp, we also have a lot of pieces around him. We have this incredible defense. He has the benefit of quite a few playmakers around him. Whether or not George Kittle plays Sunday is now up in the air, because he is dealing with a groin injury. But you have a Deebo Samuel, you have Brandon Ayuk, you have Elijah Mitchell, you have Trent Williams at left tackle to protect him. You have a very shaky interior of the offensive line, which is going to be an issue for Trey. But that idea, I think, is really important for him and for 49ers fans. And I know the 49ers know it from week one to week 17. And with Fields, and I said at the beginning, he is coming into his second year, but with a new coaching staff, with an entirely new philosophy, in some ways puts him back a little bit to go forward, if that makes sense. And so it'll be interesting to see kind of how both quarterbacks respond on Sunday. So I'm glad you said that, because it's kind of interesting from a Trey Lance perspective as well.
Yeah. And I can, like, there's definite differences in the quarterback situation that each quarterback finds themselves in. Like, we know that this is Trey Lance's, like, they turn the reins of the offense over to him, but clearly they didn't see something that convinced them in a lot of ways that, you know, this is the guy for right now that can take a team that is constructed to win a Super Bowl and you can bank on it. Obviously, there's the other piece that everybody forgets about Jimmy Garoppolo willing to take the pay cut to stay with this team. And also, you know, if you have a situation where you can, where you have a dependable veteran quarterback who you know what you're going to get out of him and it's cost effective to keep him, why wouldn't you? Like, this isn't 100%. Like, oh, Trey Lance is terrible. Like, the team's giving up on him already. So I think that we need, like, to make sure that we keep reinforcing that context around that situation. But also, when it pertains to the roster, Trey Lance is in a situation where this roster is ready made. Justin Fields is not. Like, there's been so much turnover here, and guys who are playing here this year, especially the veteran players, a lot of them might not be on the team next year. Like, they're constantly working and signing. I mean, there's a reason that they had a league high 6 claims off waivers when you know, final cuts were, you know, initial cuts were made last week when the initial 53 was formed. And then, you know, the next day they turn over 10% of the roster. So they're constantly evolving and, you know, working around trying to, you know, put Fields in a better situation, not whereas like he already has, you know, guys that are, you know, ready-made NFL players. Like, he's got to work with what he has versus what the situation that, you know, Trey Lance is in a far better situation in terms of the personnel.
Yeah. And I've talked about that a lot. Like, it's a very unique position. Very rarely are you the number 3 pick in the draft and come into a somewhat Super Bowl ready roster. Yeah. And even though it wasn't necessarily his roster last year, very rarely do you have that. So that is a big benefit that he will have going forward. What I think will be interesting is it remains to be seen, is Jimmy Garoppolo there a benefit for Trey's development or is it a detriment? And we really won't know, you know, for quite some time. And I think the 49ers are doing a very good job of, he's our guy, and I believe them. He is their guy. I think Jimmy, it worked out. It certainly worked out that, yes, that maybe as training camp went on, they said, well, let's see, as the season goes on, it would be good to have him there. But I don't feel that he was kept there as a knock on Trey Lance. But it did work out for everybody. But again, here's my new favorite phrase in life. Time will tell. Because it's the one phrase in the world that no one can argue with. So
you're right.
Time will tell.
Yeah. No, that's,
it really,
that's a good
the
one.
Only one. It's really the only one that nobody can argue with. So time will tell. But we've talked a lot about quarterback. Let's talk a little bit about what Justin Fields does have around him. What is going on with this wide receiver core? I mean, you look at it, Dante Pettis revenge game coming up fast here on Sunday, Richard Hightower revenge game within the special teams coming up fast. But kind of what does he have around him? Who can he depend on? And what is the running game looking like?
Well, he can certainly depend on Darnell Mooney. That's been, you know, his guy now for a year. Mooney had a 1,000-yard season last year, a productive receiver who I think is really on just like the ground floor of how good he can be. Shows you that you can really get talent at the receiver position in the later rounds and just how good that 2020 draft class was with drafted receivers. Like, it's, you know, you go from Justin Jefferson that year all the way down to a Darnell Mooney. I've covered both of them, and I think they're both very special players. But, you know, outside of Mooney, there's just not a lot of proven talent, or at least like proven talent that has a proven connection with Justin Fields, because we just didn't see a lot of that continuity come together during the preseason because there were so many injuries. Like, they trade for N'Keal Harry, send a 7th round pick to New England to give Harry a fresh start, former 1st round pick. He hurts his ankle early in camp, and now he's on IR. He can be designated to return after the first 4 games, but how long that takes, still up in the air. You know, Tajay Sharp went on injured reserve, you know, when the 53 was formed. Byron Pringle has been out with a quad injury. He did return to practice this week, so that's good, but missed a lot of time on task. Same with Velus Jones Jr., who didn't practice on Wednesday this week, missed a lot of time on task to build that rapport with Justin Fields. Equanimeous St. Brown has been in this offense before in Green Bay, but this is somebody who was cut last year and then brought back on the practice squad. So it's not like you're bringing in somebody who's, you know, a ready-made star at that position. So it's like Mooney, and then there's a big drop-off. It's like, who else is going to be next to rise to the challenge of becoming the number 2 receiver, carving out roles, maybe a number 3? They just need depth and healthy depth at this point. So I think you will end up seeing a lot of heavier personnel groupings, you know, multiple running backs on the field at the same time, multiple tight ends on the field at the same time, because they've got to look outside of the traditional place where a lot of those targets would go and see, can you get running backs involved in the passing game? And we have seen that in some of the preseason games, like they really were active with their screen game and trying to figure out tight end running back screens, even some wide receiver screens in there. Like, how can they get like a quick, fast passing game going if the pressure is getting to Fields or if the pass protection is just not good enough at the start? So there's that. Like I said before, this is an offense that's going to run the ball. They have to, because you can't put all of that on your quarterback. So David Montgomery entering a contract year for himself, this is a very important stretch for him to be able to prove that he can be the guy and, you know, be the guy consistently and earn himself a next, you know, his next contract, whether it's here in Chicago, if they want to pay him, or if it's somewhere else, because he's consistently been like a top eight running back since he entered the league a couple of years ago in terms of production every single year. And the durability factor, it's not like he's had any massive injuries. I mean, he had, you know, some stuff that kept him out here and there last year, but it's not like a Tariq Cohen situation at the Bears face. So I think he's in a prime spot to get a lot of run this year and set himself up for, you know, what's next. And depending upon if the Bears want to pay him or somebody else, like, he can really do a lot of damage this year that could help him in the long run by putting up some big numbers, because they're going to rely on him since they need to.
Fantasy football players everywhere.
Like, oh, 100%. Like, I get questions about him all the time. It's like, you know, for like a running back that you can take in the later rounds. Like, yes, absolutely. Because he will get run in this offense.
All right, guys, pay attention to that. David Montgomery. So Justin Fields in that offense will be going up against one of the top defenses in the league, even without Jimmy Ward these first few games. That 49ers front seven is obviously, I mean, just, you know, Nick Bosa and friends, Eric Armstead, Javon Kinlaw, someone the 49ers are hoping, of course, will really come into his own this year, hopefully stay healthy. I think that's the big thing for him. Should he be able to stay healthy from what we've seen, I think he can be the player the 49ers are hoping he can be, but that front seven is insane. But we go to the secondary where the 49ers really shored things up. That's, of course, where Jimmy Ward comes into play, missing those first few games, and it hurts them. But because they went out and got their own Mooney, Charvarius Ward, who is Mooney Ward, that is his name. I like to reiterate that so people aren't like, who are you talking about? But that's what he'd like to be called.
That's
so
his nickname. Okay.
That's his nickname. Yeah. So just so you know, that is his nickname, but he has told us that is what he would like to be called. He is Mooney Ward. So there you go. There's a fun fact for you and everybody. So we have potential for some Mooney on Mooney crime on Sunday.
So there's
that. I'm very excited for potentially doing that tweet. But that is something that was big for the 49ers. They went out and got themselves a real shutdown corner, which they have not done in several years, certainly not since I've been covering this team. And it's changed everything, you know, in the secondary. So that's just my little pitch on the 49ers defense, so to speak. But on the other side, for Trey Lance and company, and for that interior of the offensive line, which I think is the shakiest part of the 49ers offense, to be honest with you, I'd be much more concerned about that than I'd be about Trey Lance. Trey Lance is going to be up and down and growing. The interior of that offensive line is problematic, and you pair that with an essentially rookie quarterback, and that could create some issues. So I say all that to say, what are the 49ers going to be facing against the Bears front seven and the defense as a whole?
Yeah, it's a good question, because I think there still are some unknowns with what this pass rush is going to look like. They're very thankful that they were able to keep Robert Quinn in the fold. I know that, you know, throughout the offseason, dating back to the time that I started on the beat, there was the question of, well, they moved on from Khalil Mack. Are they going to try to trade Robert Quinn too? You can understand the logic from a team that was very clearly in a rebuilding phase, even though a lot of players didn't want to call it that. Even the general manager, Ryan Poles, was very careful in the language that he chose to not call it a rebuild. But that's what this thing is. But you still need capable, competent players to be playing and rushing the quarterback. Like, you need some semblance of a pass rush. Well, you have somebody who just came off a season where he had 18 and a half sacks. Like, he's in a good spot. And so I think it'll be Robert Quinn, and then there's kind of this still unknown product, which I, in Al-Qadeen Muhammad, who I think is a fast riser. 4 years in Indianapolis in this defense where he was a rotational player. You know, Matt Eberflus clearly loved the product that he had in Muhammad there, gets him in free agency, and now he has a starter's role. Comes off a season where he has a career high 6.5 sacks. So, you know, there will be an ample opportunity for Muhammad to take that next step. So I know they're excited about that. And I know they're excited about Justin Jones, who's their three technique. They ended up signing him hours after the whole Larry Ogunjobi failed physical, which, you know, still was such a weird situation for this team, knowing that like he had just broken his ankle like 2 months before that. Their medical people were telling him it was fine, you know, clearly around the league, because it took him till what, a couple, not that long ago, to get signed by the Steelers. Clearly other teams saw that it was an issue. And I think it might actually work out better for the Bears in the long run, because they won't have overpaid for a three technique when Justin Jones may be just as productive. But again, the jury's out, because it's somebody who, you know, doesn't have a whole ton of starting experience. Like he got a limited opportunity to do that in Los Angeles with the Chargers. Now this is his role. So their front four is, you know, because they switched from a 34 base to a 43 base. So like they're where they rush the passer from changes now, and their linebacking core, you know, what are they going to ask of Roquan Smith? How different is that role going to be for him now as an off ball linebacker? Moving to the Will spot and not being at the mic, like how different does that look for him? So I feel like there's a lot that's still unknown, and we won't be able to gauge how good or how not good that front seven is in the areas that they need to you know, improve upon until we see them actually, you know, match up with some opponents other than themselves. I think all you know, though, is that they've got some effective players. They've got some good pass rushers. Muhammad's young. He's, you know, an up-and-comer. Quinn is an established veteran. You know what you're getting there. How do all the pieces come together in a defense that's brand new for most every player playing in it?
So what, well, I have two follow-ups that I'll go with this one first, even though this should be the second one, but I'm going with this one first. You guys got my inner dialogue there as the host, but what can the Bears and what can Bears fans expect from the team this year? It is a lot of unknowns. It's a lot of, even though they don't want to say rebuild, why don't we call it a retooling if that makes them feel better? But what can Bears fans expect? And then I guess the second question I had was which player or players do you think are going to surprise people this year?
I think you can expect a team that is going through a culture shift, and that comes with like a lot of growing pains. You know, it might sound a little cheesy, but like that HITS principle that Matt Eberflus installed here, you know, guys did not take to it right away, but now it's something that's become second nature. And to me, you'll be able to judge how effective the culture change is going if they do get into the middle of a losing streak. Are they still preaching the HITS principle and, you know, playing hard, fast, physical, smart, you know, tough, all those things that like make up that acronym? Are they doing that in like week 13 if they've only won like three games at that point? So we'll see from that, but it's going to be it's a growing, they're very much at the ground floor, and they had to do so much undoing with this roster just to be able to get to ground zero where they could start building. And the fact is 10 of their 11 draft picks made the initial 53. Now one obviously went to injured reserve, but you're going to have multiple starters from that rookie draft class. Like Braxton Jones, your fifth rounder from an FCS school, is going to be going up against Nick Bosa this week. It's his job. It's not like, you know, well, they didn't, you know, we had to give it to somebody. No, he won that job, which I think is a really good sign as far as like the direction that this thing is going. But you have to, if you're really going to see this thing through the right way, you have to give it patience. And I think that that means not having the expectation that this team could be the surprise Cincinnati Bengals from worst to first. I mean, a lot of things, even in a weaker NFC this year, would have to break their way for that to happen. So I think it's just like the patience element of realizing they've got a lot of money to spend next year. Like if you want to criticize them after next year for not, if they don't do anything, by all means, warranted. But Ryan Poles has been pretty adamant about his plan and his want to in building this roster of how he wants to do it. And he's stuck to that, you know, for better or for worse, he's stuck to that. Will that come back to bite them from not signing more players to, you know, be part of this offense with Justin Fields? Maybe, but they have next year to get to that. Like, this is the year where you have to field a team to figure out what you have and the best ways to, you know, for your quarterback too, to prove, hey, I'm showing you enough, even though there's not a lot around me, to prove to you that I'm worth building around. So that's kind of the big takeaway I think fans can expect this year. And players that could surprise, I mean, I really am looking to see what Braxton Jones, like, I know that he can play, but like, how, when it's actual game speed, how does that look on, you know, how does that look on that show up in games? Like, is it just that you were okay playing at preseason speed? Like, when you have really good edge rushers that you're trying to block against every single week, what does that look like? What does the pass protection as a whole for Justin Fields look like? And I know, sticking kind of the theme of the offensive line, I really think that Tevin Jenkins can surprise people. I know this seems more like a marriage of convenience. They found a spot for him that he looks really decent at right now. Can he stick there? Can he thrive there? That's something that I'm going to be looking for, because it was a weird situation throughout training camp with some of the trade rumors. And, you know, it wasn't necessarily the Bears trying to shop him, but the notion was out there that there was friction going on between the player and the club. And there were other teams that were calling, offering. Like, it might not have been the Bears so actively trying to like, be like, hey, you know, we're trying to get rid of Tevin Jenkins. Whereas other teams see that like, hey, maybe we can offer a late round draft pick, try to give this former second rounder from, you know, a year ago, a fresh start. But obviously that hasn't happened. And he's still on the roster, which even when we talked to him right after the initial 53 came out, he was nervous. He said, I'm not really sure if I'll be on the roster. And he didn't know, you know, throughout this whole process, how it was going to play out. You feel for a guy like that because you're trying to learn a new position while looking over your shoulder, wondering, you know, what tomorrow is going to bring for you on the football side. That's a lot. So I think he could really surprise people because he's looked pretty good in his very limited action that we've seen at right guard, but it's a brand new position for him and might be actually where he's better suited, even though he still thinks of himself as a tackle.
So, game prediction for Sunday.
I have the Bears losing. I haven't actually like picked like a score yet. I'll go ahead and say, I think it could be something like 27-21. I don't know if it'll be, you know, there's always a missed field goal here or there at Soldier Field or missed PAT. I don't think it's going to be as big of a blowout as maybe some people would expect. I mean, the weather conditions would factor into that. I still think that this Bears team is going to, I mean, the 49ers are in a tough division and the byproduct of probably being a wild card team because the Rams are ahead of them. So if this is a team that's built for a Super Bowl, you don't expect a team that's just starting out trying to get on that level to be coming, like, you know, to surprise people. If they did, I wouldn't be surprised because weird things happen the first month of the season, as we know. Always. It's not always the cleanest football either. Like, I feel like teams have to take, even though they have the preseason, they have to like take like the first month to kind of figure it out. But we'll see. I mean, I don't have them winning this game, but weirder things. I'm happy to eat my words if they do, because weirder things have happened in the NFL.
Well, and week one is just a free for all. So I think we just never know. I mean, a few years ago, I think the Patriots, and I think they ended up winning the Super Bowl that year, lost either week one or two to Jacksonville badly. And everyone was like, this is it. They're done. The end of Belichick, it's the end of Brady, it's over for everybody. And then I'm pretty sure they won the Super Bowl that year, if memory serves. So week one is a funny one. I have the 49ers winning this game. Someone asked me yesterday for score. I'm terrible at score predictions. I mean, this is, it may be my like least developed skill because I'm just awful at it.
I'm not great at it either.
14. I don't know that feels like a big, that feels big. I don't actually think, I don't know the 49ers are going to score that many points. So
the Bears got to figure out how to score more than 14 points. Like, that's part of the new offense too. Like, is this offense better suited to scoring? Because it wasn't last year.
I'm going to change my prediction to 21-14. I'm still only giving the Bears those two touchdowns. That's fair. I think your score actually makes more sense. But we will see on Sunday, because to quote, I think it was Chris Berman, that's why they play the game. So we'll leave you all with that super cheesy cliche to go into your day. But Courtney, thank you so much for joining me. This is great.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Please let everyone know where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Courtney R. Cronin. You can also go to the Chicago Bears page on ESPN.com. All of my articles are curated there. And you can hear me, you know, nationally on ESPN Radio as well.
Fantastic. If you guys like what you heard, and I know you did, please make sure to leave us a five-star review. Follow us on Instagram at Fangirl Sports Network. We are brought to you by Bet Online. We are brought to you by FIVO. And with that, I'll talk to everybody next week when the 49ers are either 1-0 or 0-1. Bye all.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.